Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are now in Sogut, okay, the birthplace of the Ottoman dynasty, and we stand right in front of the entrance of the tomb of famous Ertugrul Ghazi, the father of Sultan Uthman Ghazi. So we're going to look at the tomb, inshallah, and make dua for the Ghazi, for his services to Islam and the Muslims. May Allah have mercy on him. May Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. You can see Ertugrul Ghazi written on the gate. Sultan Ertugrul Ghazi became famous because of the Ertugrul series. A lot of people watched it in their own languages. It was translated, dubbed into many different languages. So we're going to go inside, inshallah, and we're going to look at Sultan Ertugrul Ghazi's tomb, inshallah. You can see here, this is the grave of Sultan Ertugrul Ghazi's beloved wife, the mother of Sultan Uthman Ghazi. Okay, this is Halime Hatun. Okay, basically her name was Halima, and Hatun is Khatun, which means in Turkish the lady. Okay, so this is Halima lady, or Halime Hatun. This is the wife of Sultan Ertugrul Ghazi. She has a very humble grave. She is the one, literally, she is the one who gave birth to the Ottoman dynasty. How? Because she's the one who gave birth to the man after whom the dynasty is named Ottomans. Okay, the word Ottomans comes from the word Ottoman. Ottoman comes from Uthman, Ghazi Uthman, who was the son of Ertugrul Ghazi. Okay, so let's go, inshallah, let's keep moving. This, we would have seen the change of the guard, because every hour or every few minutes, or actually every hour, there's a change of the guards. You can see the guards there walking. So this is to give a taste to people how the sultans would have been guarded by private guard when they were alive. So this is a spectacle to behold. You can see these guys, they look so tough. They look like Ottoman warriors. This is what Ottoman warriors would have looked like once upon a time. They are carrying axes. They are wearing very distinctive Ottoman hat. And they are walking towards the tomb, and they look very traditional. So this is basically an attempt to show what Ottoman soldiers, Ottoman guards of the Sultan would have looked like. Now, today, the Turkish government basically has made this a tradition. Those people who visit out of their respect to the Ottoman dynasty and Ghazi Ertugrul and his children, they witness the change of the guard on the tomb. Okay, this is basically a way to show Turkish government's respect for the Sultan and his descendants. So we're going to go inside, inshallah. If you follow me, inshallah, bismillah. This is the grave of Ertugrul Ghazi. You can see the word written there, so his name is written there, Ertugrul Ghazi. Okay. And what you see in the boxes is the dust brought from different parts of the world where the Ottomans ruled. Yes, the dust is from the different parts of the world where Ottomans ruled. So this is dust brought from different lands, different parts of the world where Ottomans later on ruled for Islam. Okay, so subhanAllah, this is a way to humble themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show their humility that...
Jihad.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Where they fought jihad, fi sabilillah, the dust was brought from those lands, and this dust is put right next to his qabr. For a point that, okay, these are the lands we went to, and this is where we shed our blood for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Islam. May Allah have mercy on Ghazi Ertugrul and bless him with Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, Ya Rab. And it were his children who went on to rule much of the world, from Europe to Asia to Africa. Okay, so this was one of the greatest Muslim dynasties in history. Ottomans ruled for nearly 600 years and ruled much of the world, Allahu Akbar. And they became strong proponents of Islam, and they defended Islam on many different fronts. And all of this was born from this man, Ertugrul Ghazi. On that note, thank you so much. And we are doing these visits every, we have the guards with us. We are doing these visits every few months, brothers and sisters. If you want to give a strong sense of identity to your children, if you want them to be proud of Islam, if you want them to find inspiration in Islam and in Muslim personalities, then you must bring them on the ground and let them see history with their own eyes. Teaching them theory, giving them books to read is not enough. You have to bring your children on the ground for them to see all of this, okay? For that, it is very easy for you to do it, okay? So you can simply go on halalgetaways.com, book the next tour to either Islamic Morocco, Islamic History of Morocco, or Islamic History of Spain, where we visit Islamic monuments. Okay, we go to Qartaba Masjid, we go to Seville, Al-Qasr or Al-Qazar, or we go to Al-Hamra Palace in Granada. Okay, and then we come to Turkey as well. So you can choose your destinations, you can choose your dates. Okay, bring your children, bring your youngsters to these places. Let them see this history. Let them take inspiration so that they can have some sense of attachment, some source of attachment with Islam. Some, you know, familiarity and some sort of identity attachment with Islam and the Muslim civilization. These are different dynasties, different periods, different places we visit so that we can strengthen that sense of identity. Check out halalgetaways.com. Halalgetaways.com. Inshallah, you will find the details for the future date. I will be personally present on these tours. You can choose the tours where I'm personally present to teach history, as I have been doing, alhamdulillah, so that we can bring more and more Muslim youngsters for them to see this history and take inspiration. Okay? So please join the tours, inshallah ta'ala, and you will strengthen the identity of your children. You know, it's very easy to complain about your children and the fact that they are playing games, computer games, and they are not interested in Islamic civilization or Islamic history. It's because they are not taught. It's because they don't know anything. Once they come here, they will not go back the same people. Thank you so much.
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, here we are in front of Ulu Jami. Ulu Jami literally means the great mosque, right? Correct? This mosque, this masjid is potentially the largest masjid in Bursa. Bursa is the Ottoman capital, and this is where victories would be celebrated. So this masjid, this great masjid, was built as a result of a great victory over Europeans in current day Hungary, where the Battle of Nicopoli was won by Sultan Bayezid Yeldrim, Bayezid the First, also known as Bayezid the Thunderbolt, right? And he won this victory in 1396, and he declared that if Allah gives him victory in this battle, he will build 20 mosques in Bursa. So when it came time, when the time came to build, he was advised that instead of building 20 mosques, build 20 domes on one masjid. So build a great mosque instead of building 20 small ones. And this was the outcome. You can see on the gate, the date is clearly stated, 1399. Allahu Akbar. Okay. This is about 3 years before Sultan Bayezid was captured in the battle of, or as a result of the battle of Ankara, when Timur or Timurlane or Timur Lang, he's also known as Timur Lang, Timur the Lame, because he was lame in one leg. He was a great warlord from Central Asia. He wanted to revive the legacy of Genghis Khan. And he basically went pretty much everywhere fighting, mostly Muslims, and decimating Muslim cities and dynasties. He attacked the city of Delhi, the Delhi Sultanate, ruled by Delhi Sultanate, in 1398, and sacked the city. Then he made his way to the Ottomans, and near Ankara, this battle took place in 1402, when Sultan Bayezid the Yeldrim was captured when he was actually besieging Constantinople. And Constantinople was already almost fallen. The Byzantines, the Romans were getting ready to literally surrender the city when Timur turned up behind him. So he had to lift the siege, abandon his siege, and go and fight Timur. And then he was caught in battle and humiliated later on. And he died in captivity. Rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah have mercy on his soul. Okay, And after he passed away, his sons fought for power for the next 10 to 20 years. Civil war between sons. Mustafa, we had Musa, we had Muhammad Chalabi, who actually became the next Sultan, having defeated his brothers, right? Suleiman as well. Isa, Suleiman, Mustafa, Musa, and Muhammad Chalabi. Five sons, they fought each other for power. And they were being used by different factions, different forces, for their own ends. For example, when they see the brothers divided, the Romans came in, they started to back one brother. And then some of the Beyliks, they came in, they started to back other brothers so that they can keep the Ottomans broken, divided. This is when Muhammad Chalabi, Muhammad I, rahmatullahi alayh, he managed to overpower his brothers and unite the Ottomans under one state again. And then the Ottomans had to start again to reassert their power. And it took another 50 years before the Ottomans could besiege Constantinople and finally take it in 1453. So 1402 was the Battle of Ankara, when Timur took Sultan Bayezid Yıldırım into captivity, and 1453, about 50 years later, we have Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih take the city of Constantinople. So Sultan Bayezid was the father of Sultan Muhammad Chalabi, who was the father of Sultan Murad II, and Sultan Murad II was the father of Muhammad al-Fatih, who took Constantinople. By the way, we're gonna go inside and we're gonna look at some of the masterpieces of what? Calligraphy. Some of the greatest Ottoman calligraphic masterpieces are in this masjid. And they range from, what is the oldest piece there?
There are not that much oldest piece.
Right. I mean, there are just mostly from the 19th century. Mostly from the 19th century, but they were done by some of the greatest calligraphers Ottoman Turkey has produced. And you will see those masterpieces inside. Absolutely mind-blowing. And they dedicated these masterpieces to this masjid. Also, we have the original minber inside from the time of Sultan Bayezid. It is dated, and the name of the man who carved it or built it is also there. We're going to see it, inshallah. So let's not wait any longer. Let's go inside and check out the masjid and the calligraphic or calligraphy masterpieces and the minber, inshallah. Let's go. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, bismillah. We are now inside Ulu Jami, which was built in 1399. And I was going to mention that Sultan Bayezid was the son of Sultan Murad I, who was the first and the last Sultan to have been killed on the battlefield. Even though the battle was over, Sultan Murad had won the Battle of Kosovo in 1389. One of the Christian captives, he stabbed the Sultan to death after the battle had been won, and there were celebrations in Europe that the Ottomans are finished. But little did they know that the son of this very Sultan will come back within six to seven years and cause a greater victory to take place at Nikopoli. And that happened in current day Bulgaria or Hungary, I don't remember. Sorry? Bulgaria. It happened in Bulgarian territory, it was Balkans, and this was a great victory. And as a result of this victory, Sultan Bayezid Yıldırım, also, Yıldırım means the thunderbolt. He was called the Thunderbolt because of the speed of his action, how he would move from place to place with his entire army. So he was like a thunderbolt. May Allah have mercy on him. And the calligraphy I was talking about outside, you can look at these masterpieces. They have been dedicated to this masjid. Inshallah, we're going to go around quickly. If you follow me, inshallah, because there is so much to see here, there is a lot of calligraphy. We will look at that, inshallah, later on. But one of the special places I want to show all of you is the minber. The minber is very old, from the 15th century. It was built for the masjid. It is a purpose-built minber, and it has the... Okay, there is someone praying here. Maybe we can... If you pass in front of it and then lift the bottle. Right. This is a very special minber, and it is very old. It is as old as the masjid. A lot of this calligraphy obviously has been renovated and it's been renewed, but the minber here, if you look at it, okay,
Here we see the name of the Sultan, okay, and the date, and the name of the person who made it, okay. But the name of the Sultan is clearly visible, Bayezid Khan bin Murad Khan, okay. And the date is basically Tariq, Batariq, Ithnain wa Thamanmiya. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it?
In the golden?
You're looking at me? Yeah, in the golden. The last one, Alif. Can you see long Alif?
Yeah.
And then Ithnain. Okay, Ithnain. Underneath, yeah. Wa Thamanmiya.
Thamanmiya.
Okay, so this is 802 Hijri. This member was actually made in 802 Hijri, which is like what? 600 and nearly 22 years. Okay, 622 years old. So it's basically from the late 14th century, early 15th century, okay? And it's still very much in its original condition, you can see. And I remember seeing the name of the carver, the name of the person who actually made it. This is a lot of wood pieces put together. And they were carved separately, and then they were assembled together, okay? So this is a masterpiece that survives to this day from the early 15th century or the late 14th century. Can you check what 802 corresponds to?
1399. Exactly.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the late 14th century. Allahu Akbar.
And the technique is kundakari.
Right.
They didn't use any nail.
Okay.
They joined pieces together.
So. Yeah.
And also, believe it or not, there's a solar system on the other side. When you see the half domes.
Right.
When you recall from this side.
Yeah.
From right. This side.
Yeah. So,
here,
yeah.
Look at the domes.
Oh, so there are, this is like the solar system, the sun in the middle and many planets around it. SubhanAllah. So it's like the solar system, yeah. It's like the solar system depicted on the member. This is where the Imam would climb up and then do the khutbah. Allahu Akbar. So this masjid is from the late 14th century. In the 19th century, there was an earthquake in 1855. How many domes fell? 18 of the 20 domes fell, and they were rebuilt again. Unfortunately, there was no other way to save them, so they were rebuilt again. And then, alhamdulillah, as you can see, the masjid was renovated. And all of these calligraphic masterpieces, if you follow me, inshallah, they were done by expert calligraphers who were well known in the Ottoman Empire for their calligraphy skills. Now look at that. That one looks like a vessel, a ship, okay? And it was done in 1275 Hijri, which corresponds to approximately mid 19th century. So I'm assuming these were done after the earthquake, right? Soon after the earthquake, because they correspond. Yeah, yeah. So this looks like a ship. Allahu Akbar. So a lot of this script is Nastaliq. That's Nastaliq, that's Nastaliq, that's also Nastaliq, okay? Then there is Nasr script, there is Khat-e-Rehan, there are different types of calligraphy here. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, this is Nasr. That's Nasr, and this is there. Fedaka Abi wa Ummi Ya Rasulullah. May my mother and father be sacrificed over you, Ya Rasulullah. So it's written there. Wa shawirhum fil amr, from the Quran. So that's also in Nastaliq script. This script, which looks very Persian, it is Arabic Rasmul Khat. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. There is that big writing over there. So there are different messages, different verses representing different realities. All of this is depicted there. So this is the great mosque, Ulu Jami of Bursa, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. And maybe the cameraman can go around and take some more shots while we are looking at this, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. And you know, you cannot, the camera does not do justice to the beauty of this masjid and the calligraphy you see. You have to be here in person. You have to be here in person. Come with your families, come with your kids, let them see it, inshallah. Absolutely amazing. On that note, hopefully you will be able to join us in the future, one of the future trips. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now we are in a very special place in Bursa. We have the Green Mosque behind us, and then we have a very special tomb, the Qabr of Sultan Muhammad Shalabi. Okay, Muhammad the First, who was the son of Sultan Bayezid Yeldrim. He's buried up there. He is the person who united the Ottoman Empire after his father was captured in the Battle of Ankara in 1402 by Timur the Lame. Okay, let's go. But this masjid is an absolute masterpiece. We will see the calligraphy on the masjid, which is going to blow your minds away. The gate is absolutely amazing. It's so beautiful. And this masjid was built in what year?
1421.
So who is ruling at this time, 1421? This is Muhammad Shalabi, Sultan Muhammad the First, who is ruling at the time, and this is his masterpiece. Having consolidated the power his father left behind, because five brothers, they fought in this civil war, because Sultan Bayezid Yeldrim was captured by Timur and he was taken away, he died in captivity. Five brothers were fighting each other for power. Who were they? Musa, Mustafa, Isa, and Suleiman, and Muhammad Shalabi. Five brothers. So Muhammad the First came on top and he managed to basically subdue his brothers and unite the Ottomans under his leadership. And then was born to him Sultan Murad the Second, the great warrior, and his son was Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. But this is an absolute masterpiece of Islamic architecture, Islamic art. And when you see the calligraphy on the gate, it's absolutely mind-blowing. Now, because this is Bursa, this is very much Seljuk inspired. Because the Ottomans haven't yet taken Constantinople, they are still following the model, the Seljuk model in architecture. You can see this is very much Seljuk period style. And this calligraphy is absolutely magnificent. Okay, this is Kufic script. This is a different script to this script. As you can see visibly, there are both different scripts. This is Kufic, later Kufic, and this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is Nasr. This is Nasr script. Okay, so this is Nasr, which is a type of Arabic script. This is Kufic. And on the gate there, you can see, if that is the Quran, I'm not sure. It's not. It's possibly a declaration with the name of the Sultan himself. Okay. Yeah, it's the name of the Sultan and a declaration in his name. Allahu Akbar. And this is a masterpiece. This is one of the most beautiful masjids in the Ottoman Empire, in my opinion. Okay. Why am I saying this? Is the Blue Mosque not more beautiful? Is the Suleimaniya not more beautiful? The great mosque we just saw with all those masterpieces of calligraphy. They are all beautiful. But what you see here is just unprecedented. It's very different, very pure, very Seljuk. Not that other stuff is impure, astaghfirullah. But I'm saying this has a different type of beauty to it. So this is amazing. We're going to go inside the masjid, inshallah.
Yeah. Before going inside, I can show you this. So this is the exact date that the Muhammad Shalabi died, 1421. Okay, so, and the mosque, I mean, this was not built as a mosque before. I will let you know, it's a like half governmental building. Then they converted to the mosque. I will show you the, you know, like the proof inside. But before that, they were already finished. So this is the thing, Muhammad Shalabi, Muhammad the First, he died 40 years before he completed his own tomb, all right? And he died and they buried him in right there. And you can see like they didn't even finish writing the calligraphies. When he died, they stopped doing this to respect and love of him. See, like some of the places are still not carved.
Yes.
And this is the respect and love of him. Wow. You got it?
Because he's the one who was
funding it.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that parts of it were started and they were not finished. Subhanallah. You see?
Yeah.
You see the third one? Yeah. It was started and it was not finished. Yes.
So,
so this is an absolutely beautiful masjid. Now it's a masjid. Let's go inside and have a look, inshallah. Oh, it's okay. The mihrab is one of the best decorated mihrabs possibly in the world. Inside this masjid, we're going to look at it in a minute, inshallah. The tile work in this masjid is mind-blowing. Allahu Akbar. This is one of the most beautiful mihrabs in the world. If you look there.
This is how it's called. It is the most beautiful tile.
Yeah, absolutely. As you take it from here. Allahu Akbar. The tile work in this masjid is absolutely mind-blowing. And we have the year stated on top. Awakhir fi Ramadan al-Mubarak Sana. Ashara, sorry, Saba wa Ashara. No, Saba Ishreen wa Thamanmiya. Saba Ishreen wa Thamanmiya, 827 Hijri. That's the year on top there, okay? قد تم هذه نقش العمارة بيد الفقير الفقير إلى الله نو قد تم هذه النقش هذه العمارة قد تم نقش هذه العمارة because it's all in it's not in the straight order. You have to really break it down. You have to decipher these inscriptions. Subhanallah. Awakhir, fi awakhir Ramadan al-Mubarak, sana 17 wa 800. So 827 Hijri. So this is 620 years old, this structure. Allahu Akbar. It's a masterpiece. So this is called the Green Mosque. The green masjid. I don't know why, because it's blue all over. But alhamdulillah. Sorry?
Green carpet.
Yeah, green carpet, yes. We have green carpet here. So inshallah, we will now make our way, after having looked at this masjid, we're going to make our way to the tomb of Sultan Muhammad I, Muhammad Chalabi, who managed to unite the Ottomans under his rule. He managed to defeat his brothers and take hold of power into his own hands. And he's the one who, you can say, saved the Ottoman Empire from being destroyed completely. The Ottomans were almost destroyed. The Ottomans were almost, Ottomans almost fell, completely disappeared after Sultan Bayezid Yıldırım was captured. Exactly, the second founder of the Ottoman dynasty, Sultan Muhammad I.
His wife was captured by Tamur.
Sultan Bayezid's? Okay, right,
and
right.
Then, apparently the legend is the Sultan never married again.
Yes.
They had children from the...
Sultan Bayezid died in captivity.
Yeah, and his wife was captured.
Yeah, he could not handle the humiliation.
So Sultan's wife was captured after the Sultan stopped marrying.
Right.
And they had children from the slave.
Right, okay. So this is amazing. Like, if you think about it, how he managed to revive the Ottoman Empire after all that disasters, all those disasters, first his father's capture and then his brothers fighting against him. So it took him nearly 10 years to subdue his brothers who were being supported by different factions to fight him. So because many of the enemies of the Ottomans, they wanted them to fight each other and never come back to power or never gain that influence and power again. It was Sultan Muhammad I who managed to revive the Ottoman spirit and This is how we managed to take, the Ottomans managed to take later on the city of Constantinople in 1453.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are here now in front of the tomb of Sultan Muhammad I, also known as Muhammad Chalabi. The green masjid is behind us. We just came from it. We saw all those blue tiles and beautiful calligraphy outside and beautiful tile work inside the mihrab, on the mihrab rather. And you see similar artwork here. And this is the tomb of a very important sultan called Sultan Muhammad I, who died in 1421, who managed to revive the Ottoman Empire from the brink of being destroyed. When his father was captured in 1402, many people were predicting that Ottomans will never be able to recover. And then, especially when the Sultan had left five sons behind to fight each other. Sultan Muhammad Chalabi managed to defeat all his brothers and took power into his own hands and consolidated power and revived the Ottoman spirit. And this is why he's called the second founder of the Ottoman Empire after Ghazi Usman himself. So this is a very important person. His name is there. Okay. So it says, what is this? Hadihi Bariya al-Marhum al-Sa'id al-Shahid al-Sultan ibn Sultan Muhammad bin Bayezid Khan. And it says, fi Jamad al-Ula, Sana 24, 800. Allahu Akbar. So this is the name of the Sultan, Sultan Muhammad bin Bayezid Yaldirim also, okay? And this is exactly almost 620 years old, this very tomb. So we'll go inside, inshallah, to have a look, inshallah. Okay, we can go? We can take with...
This is the only place, and also Murad II.
Okay. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So you can hear the echo. This is where Sultan Muhammad I is buried. It says Chalabi Mehmed Padishah, which means King Muhammad the First Chalabi. What does Chalabi actually mean?
Chalabi like royal, like gentleman. General. I mean
honorable. Like honorable. Sayyid.
Yeah, honorable.
It's like Sayyid.
Someone not
right. So Ottoman Sultan, who was born in 1386 to Sultan Bayezid I and died in 1421. And then his own son, Sultan Murad II, took power, and Sultan Murad II died in 14, if I'm not mistaken, 52. Sultan Murad II, 1451, yes? 1451. And then came to power Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, Muhammad II, who took the city of Constantinople in 1453. Okay, so you can see many princes are buried. How do we know? This is Shahzade Mustafa, the son of Sultan Muhammad I. Again, Shahzade Mahmud. Shahzada means the son of the king, basically, in the Persian language and also in Turkish. Then we have the daughter of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, Daye Hatun. Then Aisha Hatun, which is Aisha Khatun, right? Hafsa Hatun. So these are all the daughters and the sons of Sultan Muhammad al-Chalabi or Sultan Muhammad I. So there is like a mihrab, it's beautiful tile work. Okay. Yeah. Right. So this is from the 19th century.
No. The Shafiq. Same writing.
Yeah.
Like huge one.
Yeah.
In great.
Yeah.
Same as writing.
Okay. Same type of writing.
SubhanAllah,
this tile work is absolutely amazing. It's mind-blowing. So, inshallah, we'll go around. May Allah have mercy on these people and accept them in Jannat al-Firdaus and accept their sacrifices and great deeds for the sake of Islam. They served in their own capacities. So this is another daughter, Selçuk Hatun, daughter of Sultan Muhammad I. So pretty much these are all his children buried around him. Sultan Muhammad I and his children buried next to him.
So inshallah, next we will be looking at other places in Bursa, such as the tomb of Sultan Murad II, the tomb of Sultan Uthman Ghazi, the tomb of Sultan Orhan, and we will see the guards changing as well. That will all be tomorrow, inshallah. Until then, Assalamu
alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, everyone. I am in Bursa and I am visiting a very special museum in Bursa. It's called the Conquest 1326 Panorama Museum. This is one of the biggest panoramic museum in Turkey, if not in the world. And it is, inshallah, you're going to like it. You're going to absolutely be blown away by what they have up there. We're going to go up there. But before we do that, there is a kind of gallery that shows you the history of the Ottomans chronologically. This person is not Ottoman, of course. He's Turkish, and he was one of the greatest historians of the Ottoman Empire. His name was Halil Analjik, or Halil Analjik, but Kha is not pronounced in Turkish, so it's Halil Analjik, and he lived up to 100 years, from 1916 to 2016. So this is a tribute to him. Okay, so this is how the story, the Ottoman story begins, right? This is Ertugrul Ghazi with his tribe, okay, moving into northwestern Anatolia, which was the buffer zone between the Turkic beyliks or chiefdoms throughout Anatolia and the Roman Empire. But Ertugrul Ghazi and his Kai tribe, they take this land, this territory, between 1260 to 1299, okay? Here you see Ghazi Usman, Ertugrul Ghazi's son, sitting with one of the sheikhs called Sheikh Adabali. Ghazi Ertugrul had advised his son to be very, very kind to Sheikh Adabali and do not hurt him, do not disobey him, because he is our sheikh, basically. So this is a depiction of Ghazi Usman sitting with his sheikh. Ghazi Usman is the person whose name is basically the Ottoman Empire is named after him. It's Ottoman from Ottoman, and his name was Uthman. So from Uthman it became Ottoman, the Ottoman Empire, or the Uthmanic Empire. So this is Ghazi Uthman. This is the first time when khutbah was read in his name by the sheikh from the minbar. Okay, so this is that depiction. Okay, when Ghazi Uthman became the ruler and he created a state from a chiefdom, the Ottomans went into state creating, because they were dealing with the Romans, right? This is a very famous battle depicted here. This is one of the first major battles between the Ottomans and the Byzantine Empire or the Roman Empire. This battle took place in 1302. It's the Battle of Yalakova, or also known as Baphius, the Battle of Baphius or Baphius, okay? So this is another battle which the Ottomans fought in 1303, okay, near Bursa, which was called Prussia in the past previously. Here you see there's a depiction, Uthman Ghazi telling his son Sultan Orhan Ghazi to bury me in that silver dome, or underneath that silver dome. And that silver dome is in the city of Bursa, which was still in Roman hands. So what he's telling his son is, whether I live or die, you better take the city of Bursa. Okay, and Bursa became the Ottoman capital from then. Sultan Uthman did not live to see the conquest of Bursa, because Sultan Orhan, his son, took Bursa in 1326. But later on, Sultan Uthman Ghazi's remains were interred on that very hill where he's pointing to. Okay, we keep moving. So here you see the depiction of the conquest of Bursa in 1326. Orhan Ghazi enters the city, conquering the city, which was a very important city for the Romans. And this is what opened the gates for the conquest of Constantinople. Here you see Daud al-Kaysari, who was a scholar who had opened an institution of education, teaching students using an astrolabe and astronomical drawings from Abu Rayhan al-Bayruni. Here, one of the most devastating events or incidents depicted on the painting here, this was Murad I assassinated by a Christian survivor or a Christian captive.
okay, whose name was Milošo Obilić, okay, or Milosevic, as they would pronounce it today. So this represents the Battle of Kosovo, a scene from the Battle of Kosovo, 1389. The battle was won by the Ottomans. After the battle was won, after the victory, one of the Christian captives, he basically stabbed the Sultan to death, and this was a huge disaster for the Ottomans because the Sultan had been killed after the battle, and he is the only Sultan to have been killed on the battlefield. Never again would the Ottomans compromise the security of the Sultan. Okay, so this happened in 1389. By the way, this is the battle which Milosevic, the ex-president or prime minister of Serbia, referenced in 1389 during the 600th anniversary of the Battle of Kosovo, and he referenced this very battle, and this is one of the reasons why the Serbians massacred the Bosnians and there was a genocide in Bosnia. Okay, because of this memory. Then we have Sultan Murad the first son, Bayezid Yeldrim, or Bayezid the Thunderbolt, who took power into his own hands, and then he carried on the mission of conquest. And he had a very important victory at Nicopolis in the Balkans. And you can see him in front of the walls of Nicopolis. This victory took place in 1396. And because of this victory, the Sultan, he vowed that he will build 20 mosques. If Allah gives him this victory, he will build 20 mosques in Bursa. But instead of building 20 mosques, they built a grand masjid called Ulu Jami. Ulu Jami means the great, the grand masjid with 20 domes. So instead of building 20 small mosques, the Sultan decided, after having been advised, to build one masjid with 20 domes, and this masjid still stands to this day. We visited it yesterday. You can check out the vlog. Here the Sultan is seen supervising the construction of Ulu Jami, the Grand Mosque, after the conquest of Nicopolis in 1396. This masjid was completed in 1399. It stands to this day. Alhamdulillah, we were there yesterday. Here you can see the sword is being given to Sultan Muhammad Shalabi, who became the Sultan after his father, Sultan Bayezid Yeldrim. Bayezid, Sultan Bayezid was captured after the Battle of Ankara in 1402. Timur or Timurlane or Timur the Lame had attacked the Ottomans. There was a battle at Ankara, and Sultan Bayezid the first was captured, and then his son Muhammad Shalabi defeated all his brothers and became the Sultan and consolidated Ottoman power and revived the Ottoman state after nearly being destroyed. So here you can see Muhammad I depicted in front of his tomb. This is the tomb he himself supervised, and you can see him here supervising the construction of his own tomb, and he would be buried in it later on. Okay, so he died 40 days before the tomb was completed, or after, I don't remember. And he was buried inside the tomb. And this is Sultan Murad II, Sultan Muhammad I's son, Murad II, who was the father of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. And he is sitting with his sheikhs, or some Muslim scholars. So the story of Bursa ends here with Sultan Murad II, because he was the last Sultan to be buried in Bursa. Okay, so there are six sultans altogether buried in Bursa, and after the conquest of Constantinople, all the sultans were buried in Constantinople, not in Bursa. So which sultans do we have buried in Bursa? Sultan Uthman Ghazi, the first Ottoman sultan officially, then his son Sultan Orhan Ghazi, then his son Sultan Murad the first, and then his son Sultan Bayezid the first, and then his son Sultan Muhammad the first, Muhammad Chalabi, and then his son Sultan Murad the second, and Sultan Murad's son was Muhammad al-Fatih, who is now buried in al-Fatih in Istanbul or Constantinople. We visited his tomb in the last vlog. You have seen it, and we know why that spot was so important, why he chose to be buried there. Okay, so on that note, we're going to go to the Panoramic Museum, inshallah, look at it upstairs, how the siege of Bursa would have looked like in 1326. So let's go to the panoramic museum, inshallah.
Okay, everyone, we are here now. We're going to strike our own coins. The coins belong to, the die belongs to Sultan Orhan Ghazi. And look, this is how the coin is struck. Brother Hamza, look at us and tell us what you're doing. No, no, wait, before you strike, Okay, wait.
One strike or multiple strikes?
One strike. So or the usually, there is, okay, can you take the coin out? Okay, so this, the coin is blank. Okay, what they would do back in the day, they would use hot silver or warmed silver because it becomes soft, right? They would cut a piece like this back in the day, okay? Then they would have dies like this. They would put the coin in there, and then you take a die on top, okay? Place the coin in the middle, please, making sure that the die, the coin is... So you have, you use this die, and Brother Hamza is now going to show us how the coins were made. So you strike it once, and then you strike it the second time, hard, yeah? One, two... Okay, now. Okay, let's see what you have done to your coin. I think you moved it. You moved the die slightly. Let's see what came out. Okay, look at this. Okay, Orhan Ghazi. Sultan Orhan Khan is written. And this is again from the museum, right? So this is a very nice experience to strike your own coin. You have done exactly what those die makers used to do to coins. Alhamdulillah. So now, so auntie, you have to strike it hard, okay? And keep your hands on it, but don't, okay, don't hit your hand, yeah, please. One, that's it.
One more.
Okay. Move your hand, please. Can you hold? No, no, you hold it. I'll do it. Yeah, this is what you call an Ottoman strike. Wow, this is beautiful. So this is how Ottomans would strike the coins. It says Orhan Khan. Okay, Orhan. It says Khaladallahu Mulkahu. It says Orhan Khaladallahu Mulkahu. Okay.
More.
He's gonna do it for you. Okay. Wait. Can I do it?
You have to hold your hand.
Okay. I don't want to strike my hand. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Ah! Let's see what happened there. Okay. So it says Orhan, Sultan Orhan, Khaladallahu Mulkahu. That's what it says. Yeah. Okay. You can see Orhan on top. It says Khaladallahu Mulkahu. So everyone, this was an experience to strike coins. Now there's another example. Let's see what this Ottoman does with the coin, okay? So coins would be made like this back in the day. They would strike coins in this way. Make sure you don't strike your hand, please. No casualties. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. That's it. Okay.
Well done.
Yeah. This is how Ottoman coins were made. Tashakkur. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. So we've had some coins. We are about 4 coins richer now. Alhamdulillah. Okay. This is how Ottomans would strike their coins. We have another one. Okay. Yalla. Let's see. So each die on average would strike 200 to 300 coins, and then a new die would have to be used, because a die cannot strike thousands of coins, because obviously the die is made of metal, and having struck 200 to 300 coins, the die kind of fades away or starts breaking. That's why a new die has to be used for the next batch of coins. So I hope you enjoyed it. This is the museum. We went through the chronological journey of the Ottoman Empire in Bursa. We looked at the museum upstairs, the panoramic museum, and then we struck coins, Ottoman coins. Alhamdulillah. We're going to make our way to Sultan Osman Ghazi's tomb, and we're going to see how
The guards are changed every hour. It's a spectacle. Somebody. Okay, everyone, we are at the tomb of Osman Ghazi, the founder of the Ottoman Empire, the Ottoman dynasty, and we are at the tomb and we're going to see the change of guard. It's a spectacle. Let's watch what happens. So you see them coming from the distance. They are coming to now guard the tomb of Sultan Osman Ghazi, and the ones who are already on guard will exchange their places with them. So they are dressed as Ottoman soldiers, as you can see, with the swords,
even the rings.
And so now there are two guards already there on duty. They're going to exchange places. Okay, this is a bit of a Turkish nationalism there. Okay, you can see the new guards have come in. They're gonna now stand guard there. The ones who were there already, they're gonna now go.
Kıymetli bildiğim al bayrağı. Satır. Gök girsin kızıl çıksın ki yanımda asla. Ben de dilerim anlaşıyorum. Anamdan, atamdan, yardan ve ilahtan. Kıymetli bildiğim al bayrağı. Bu satın gök girsin kızıl çıksın ki yanım pahasına ben de yiyelim eşi.
Nöbetiniz kutlu ve şerefli ola.
Amin.
Halk ne?
Okay. So now the guard has changed. And these guys, the ones who were standing on guard, they are now on their way to the barracks. And the new guards have replaced them. So this is the change of guard that takes place every hour on the tomb of Sultan Osman Ghazi. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. this spectacle takes place. So what you see there, two guards stand in front of the tomb of Sultan Osman Ghazi, the founder of the Ottoman dynasty. We're going to go in now very quickly. And on the left, you see the tomb of Sultan Orhan Ghazi. So we're going to go inside, inshallah, and look at the tomb of Sultan Osman Ghazi. So Sultan Osman Ghazi is the son of Sultan Ghazi Ertugrul. And now we enter the mausoleum, where Sultan Osman Ghazi, the founder of the Ottoman dynasty, is buried. This is where the Ottoman dynasty started. You can look there. Osman Ghazi Padishah, Ottoman Sultan, born in 1258, died in 1326, the very year Bursa was taken by his son, Sultan Orhan Ghazi. But he had already passed away before the city of Bursa fell or capitulated to the Ottomans. So this is the family, the children or the grandchildren of the Sultan Osman Ghazi. May Allah have mercy on him and his descendants for serving Islam to the extent that they ruled much of the world for 600 years. So Sultan Osman Ghazi came to power in 1299 and the Ottoman dynasty officially went up to the year 1324. So this is more than 600 years. Sultan Osman Ghazi and his descendants protected the boundaries of Islam and served Islam. So we're going to go to the next tomb, the tomb of Sultan Orhan Ghazi, inshallah, if you follow me. So brothers and sisters, we do these tours to the Ottoman history of Turkey, Ottoman monuments in Turkey, and Islamic Spain, when Muslims had ruled Spain for nearly 700 years, parts of Spain. And we go and look at some of those monuments in Al-Andalus, in current-day Spain. And we visit cities like Seville, Granada, and Cordoba. We look at Cordoba Masjid, which was started by Abdurrahman I in 780s CE. Okay, so the Masjid Cordoba, parts of it, are nearly 1,300 years old. We visit those sites, and we come to Turkey as well for the same purpose, to teach history to our youngsters, to our brothers and sisters, so that they can appreciate the history of the Muslim civilization. These tours are organized by halalgetaways.com, and I join as a historian. So you're most welcome to join on the tours, where I myself I'm teaching history. So this is the tomb of Sultan Osman Ghazi's son, Sultan Orhan. Sultan Orhan Ghazi is buried here. Rahmatullah Ali. He is the Sultan who took the city of Bursa, which was a very important Roman capital. And then 5 years later, he took the city of Iznik, also called Nicaea in the ancient period. You can see his name there, Orhan Ghazi Padishah, Ottoman Sultan, born in 1281 and died in 1360. This is when his son, Sultan Murad I, took over. Sultan Orhan Ghazi is the Sultan who opened the route to Europe for the Ottomans, and the Ottomans started to take territories in Central Europe or Balkans. And it was his son, Sultan Murad I, who had won this famous victory in the Battle of Kosovo in 1389. And after the battle, he was assassinated by one of the Christian captives. So brothers and sisters, we are here in Turkey right now with a group of brothers and sisters who are going through this history, and they're being absolutely inspired and fascinated by the history they're seeing. You can also join, inshallah. Check out halalgetaways.com for future dates. On that note, inshallah, we're going to be making our way to Sultan Murad II's tomb and his madrasa. We'll look at it, inshallah, in an hour. And also, possibly Sultan Murad I, who was killed in the Battle of Kosovo or after the Battle of Kosovo. Until then,
okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here we are in front of the tomb of Sultan Murad II, who was a very pious Sultan. He left specific instructions that bury me in humble settings. And this is the father of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, the last Sultan to have been buried in the city of Bursa. And in this complex, there are many important princes and princesses are buried. Mahidevran, the famous wife of Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent, is also buried here. The mother of Mustafa, who was killed by the Sultan because he was accused of starting or possibly initiating a rebellion against his father. And Sultan Suleiman decided to execute him. So this is the very humble qabr of Sultan Murad II. He had left instructions that leave my grave open from the top. Okay, so this is why you see the grave is open from the top. There is mud on top. This is a very humble qabr. By Ottoman standards, it is truly humble. Okay, and he has left specific instructions to put me in this grave in very simple ways. Okay. And he was a very pious man, Sultan Murad II, who ruled twice, because the first time he left his throne to his son, Muhammad II, Muhammad the Conqueror, Al-Fatih, because he wanted to seclude himself and busy himself with dhikr and developing his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih was a very young child or young man, you can say, and he could not, according to the wazirs at the time, he could not handle the situation. So Sultan Murad II was asked to come back for the second time to take the throne for another 5 years until he died, and he was buried here. So it was his son who basically took Constantinople from the Romans. Now you look at the bases of the columns, they are Roman. They are Corinthian columns. They should have been on top. They are usually capitals like that one over there, right? So these are used for bases. These are called the Corinthian columns, and they are Roman, they are Byzantine, they are not made by Ottomans. So they have been recycled and used at this tomb in this place. May Allah have mercy on Sultan Murad II. There are some other people, princes are buried here. Yes.
So Sultan Aladdin was the son of the Murad II, and he raised him.
Right.
And he was loving him so much.
Right.
So when he died, he died pretty young, and he got pretty upset. And then he said, I want to bury it, you know, like next to my son.
Subhanallah. Yeah. Sultan Alauddin or Shahzade Alauddin. Shahzade Alauddin is here. You can see. Okay. These are the children of Sultan Murad II. Shahzade Sultan, Hatish Sultan is a princess. Okay, Shahzade Alauddin, who was very beloved to Sultan Murad II, and Shahzade Ahmed. Shahzada or Shahzade also means prince or princess. Okay. We have the same word in Urdu, Shahzada or Shahzadi, basically, which means prince or princess. So these are the children of the Sultan. And you can see that these columns are definitely 100% Roman. They have been recycled and reused in these Ottoman monuments. This is possibly from the Roman period. This is why they have covered it. So there was something important here. So Sultan Murad II was the last Sultan to be buried in Bursa. So may Allah have mercy on him. May Allah forgive his errors and grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. Very great man, fought the Crusaders, many, many battles. And he was very successful as a military leader, but his heart was elsewhere. He wanted to build his relationship with Allah. He was a pious man, just wanted to seclude himself, but clearly he was needed elsewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen something different for him. And he left behind his son to finish the job and take Constantinople, Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. Okay, let's go.
His grandson Ahmed.
Okay.
Shahzada Ahmed
is there.
Son of the Bayezid II.
Right.
And we have the Jem Sultan.
Jem Sultan was a prince who was the brother of Sultan Muhammad al Fatih.
Yes.
He was the brother of Sultan Muhammad al Fatih, also the son of Sultan Murad II. Jem Sultan is a very interesting character who was given refuge in Europe, and he was used to blackmail the Ottomans, that if you don't pay us tributes or money, we will unleash him and he will launch a rebellion against you. So here we have, this mausoleum was built for Shahzade Mustafa, son of Mehmed the Conqueror. Shahzade Mustafa died in 1474. His funeral first was brought to Konya, then to Bursa, where he was buried in the mausoleum of his uncle, Alauddin Bey. Okay, so Jem Sultan. Is Mustafa his name? Muhammad, Jem Sultan's name was Mustafa?
Jem. But maybe it's another name which he got.
Yeah.
Should be Mustafa.
Sorry?
Mustafa Shahzade Mustafa.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, it's just, but his, here outside it says Jem Sultan.
Yeah, it's Jem Sultan.
Yeah, it says Jem. Okay. Right. So he was the son. He was the son of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. And he's buried in here. Because he was a prince. This is him. Very famous character, very well-known character, Jem Sultan. Okay, Father Sultan Muhammad, his father is, son of Muhammad the Conqueror, died in 1495. He spent a lot of his life in Europe, and his brother, the son of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, Bayezid II, was actually paying money to the Europeans to keep him.
Keep him
so that he doesn't come and launch a rebellion. So the Europeans at the time were using many Ottoman princes as bargaining chips. Many Ottoman princes would escape from Ottoman territory and they would take refuge with Europeans because Europeans would give them refuge because they were very scared and terrified of the Ottomans. So they wanted something in the hands, possibly royal princes, to bargain with the Ottomans. So Jem Sultan is a very well-known character. Shahzade Mustafa, we read about Shahzade Mustafa, who is a separate person to Jem Sultan. This is where we got confused. Okay, so Jem Sultan is a separate person to Shahzade Mustafa. Okay,
the son of the Muhammad al-Fatih.
Yeah.
This tomb,
yeah,
built by for him.
Okay,
Jem Sultan is also buried.
Then Shahzade Abdullah, son of Bayezid II, grandson of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, Shahzade Alim Shah. Alim Shah was also a grandson of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. So I'm assuming their graves are kept simpler in honor of Sultan Murad II, because his grave is very similar to this, and their graves are left open from top. Okay, so these are the tombs of Sultan Murad II and some of his children and grandchildren. May Allah have mercy on them and forgive their mistakes and errors. And this is very important history for us to remember, so that we can, inshallah, you know, take inspiration from these characters who came before us. They did a lot for Islam and Muslims. Alhamdulillah.
But the architect is beautiful.
Yeah, architecture is absolutely amazing.
They have tiles.
So now, inshallah, we will make our way to Sultan Murad I, who was killed after the Battle of Kosovo in 1389. And this is where our journey in Bursa will end. And then we will make our way to Istanbul, and we will do some more vlogging from Istanbul for you to see. And you can be here on the ground with us on next trips, inshallah ta'ala. For that, you can go and check out the future dates, halalgetaways.com, inshallah. Halalgetaways.com. Assalamu alaikum. Here we are in front of the tomb of Sultan Murad I, the Shaheed Sultan, who was killed after the Battle of Kosovo in 1389. The battle was won, and Sultan was on the battlefield, examining the battlefield, when one of the Christian crusaders, one of the captives, he stabbed the Sultan and he passed away. Rahmatullah alayh. Okay, the tomb of Murad I, who was martyred after the victory in Kosovo in 1389, was built by his son Yıldırım Bayezid, Sultan Bayezid I. The tomb, which was destroyed in the earthquake in the year 1855, was rebuilt by Sultan Abdulaziz in 1863. So this is where Sultan Murad I is buried, rahmatullahi alayhi. We're gonna go inside, inshallah. And it's a very high plain in the city of Bursa. His body was brought from Kosovo all the way from Central Europe or Balkans to Bursa to be interred here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum ya ahlam quburu ya ahlam diyar. So this is where the Shaheed Sultan, Sultan Murad the First, rahmatullah alayh, is buried. He was the third Ottoman Sultan, the son of Sultan Orhan Ghazi, who was the son of Uthman Ghazi. So it says, Murad, Padishah, born in 1326, the very year when Bursa was taken, and killed in 1389, after the Battle of Kosovo was won. After the victory in the battle, he was assassinated by one of the captives. The story is not very clear. There are differences of opinion on how exactly was the Sultan killed. The circumstances are not fully known, but it is clear that he was killed after the battle. And then Sultan Bayezid Yıldırım Bayezid I came to power after his father, and he was the one who also besieged Constantinople. And while he was besieging Constantinople, Timurlane or Timur the Lame came from Central Asia, attacked the Ottoman territory from behind, and there was a battle called the Battle of Ankara, where Sultan Bayezid I was captured and died in captivity. He was the son of Sultan Murad I, who was killed, who was the only Sultan to have been killed on the battlefield. Rahmatullah alayhi, Allah have mercy on him. And then of course, there are princes from the royal family who are also buried here. Shahzade Yaqub, and the dates are there, Shahzade Orhan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them Jannat al-Firdaus for their hard work and sacrifices. Ameen ya Rab. And some of these columns and capitals have been taken from Roman sites. These are Roman capitals. So inshallah, we will make our way to Istanbul now and visit some of the sites in Istanbul. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.